We're going to be reading this evening out of the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis in chapter number 6. We're all familiar with the idea of giving and gifts, where you just came through Christmas, and many of us think of Christmas, and the first thing we think of is gifts, for some reason or another. But we give gifts for various reasons. Sometimes we give gifts as congratulations, as a way of celebrating a milestone. We give gifts at graduation parties. We give gifts at weddings. We give gifts at baby showers and even housewarming gifts. And all these gifts are given as a celebration of a milestone. There are some gifts that are given in remembrance. At Christmas time, we give gifts to each other in remembrance and in honor of the gift that Christ gave unto us. It helps us to look back and to remember that gift. Then there's sometimes we give gifts for no other reason than just to say that we're thinking about somebody or that we're appreciating them or what, you know, just because. And the Bible gives us, or the Bible tells us that if we being evil, if we being earthly, physical, human beings that make frail mistakes, if we, with all those limitations, know how to give good gifts, how much more the Heavenly Father knows how to give gifts. And God gives us gifts from day to day. I suppose that if we stopped and thought about it, we could come up with a multitude of gifts that God gives us every day. Sometimes He gives each gift a repeated gift day by day, and sometimes it's a gift once a week, sometimes it's just... But there's some gifts that He gives unto us, and if we just stopped, there'd be a multitude of them. And throughout the Bible, we read of God giving gifts unto us and unto people. We read them from Adam and Eve all the way through to the end of the Old Testament. And God gives us these examples as encouragement, to strengthen us, because God has not changed. The gifts that He gave unto the people in the Bible time are the same gifts that He wants to give unto us. These examples are for encouragement, for our benefit, to encourage us on our way toward the city. And I want to look at the story of Noah and see some of the gifts that God gave unto Noah and the gifts that He still gives today. Genesis chapter 6, and begin with verse number 5. And God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing, and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in it, in the ark, and pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And a door of the ark shalt thou put on the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, and keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And thou shalt take them unto thee, and thou shalt take unto thee all the food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. There are three gifts that God gave Noah in this passage that I'd like to notice tonight. This is in no way an exhaustive list of the gifts that God gave to Noah even throughout his life, and it's definitely not an exhaustive list of the gifts that God gives unto us. But I'd like to notice that the Lord gave Noah three specific gifts. He gave unto him the gift of grace, the gift of guidance, and the gift of a guarantee. There's the story of mankind is familiar to all of us. We're familiar with the creation of the Garden of Eden and the fall of mankind. And the history there, we're familiar with. It's nothing new to us. But as the time passed, Satan continued to do his work as well. Satan's mentioned in the third chapter of Genesis and not mentioned again up to this point. But yet he was still doing his best to destroy God's plan, trying to defeat God's plan. And one of the things that he used was compromise. We see the line of Seth that was given. Seth was a godly man, godly line of Seth. But the devil used compromise, little bits at a time, throughout the generations to get them to mix with the world until we get to the day of Noah, to where there was none righteous. These little compromises that Satan used perhaps weren't big things. They were just anything that he could do to get mankind, the godly men of the line of Seth, to abandon their separation. It could be in the form of friendliness with the world, to the love of the world, to blending in, to fitting in, whatever it could be. But he wanted to get them to compromise and give up. And this went on. This is only the sixth chapter of the Bible, and so we think it wasn't a long time. But if there's no gaps in the genealogies, it's 1,656 years that this went on. And so after 1,656 years of compromise, we can see that the earth would be pretty full of evil and corruption. But yet in the midst of all this, Noah receives the gift of grace from God. In this story, that's the first time the grace is ever mentioned in the Bible. But Noah didn't find grace in the eyes of those around him. No doubt he was looked upon with scoffing and with scorn, but yet more importantly than those around him, he found grace in the eyes of God. Grace is closely aligned to mercy. It's something that we usually couple together. We put hand in hand God's grace and God's mercy. We usually think of them as a unit. But there's a difference between the two. Sometimes we use the terms interchangeably and think of them interchangeably, but there is a difference. God's grace is a positive concept, while his mercy is a negative one. And positive and negative in that sense doesn't mean good and bad or right and wrong. It's just simply more the idea of addition and subtraction. God's grace is things that he gives unto us that we do not deserve. God's mercy is when he does not give to us what we deserve. It's God's mercy that we don't receive the punishment that we give, that we deserve. But it's God's grace that gives us all the benefits that we aren't worthy of in our human and our frailty. Newton's third law of motion tells us that to every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. And we'd be tempted to think, well, what is the reaction to God's grace? What is it that man does in response to God's grace? And that's a good concept, and it's something to think about, and it's a whole other sermon in itself, I suppose. But I would like to look for a little bit at what is it that is grace reacting to? What is it that makes the reaction of God's grace? I realize that there's nothing that we can do to merit God's grace, and that God gives us grace freely, that he gives grace unto all mankind. But there's also a greater depth of grace. There's some people who have more grace than others, not because God loves them, but because they're doing more for God, and so God pours out more grace unto them. God gives everybody grace enough to get saved. He gives them grace to bring them to the light of salvation, whether they accept it or not. Everybody has an equal level of grace at that point, but it's up to them whether they accept that or not. And if they accept that grace, then they accept it through saving faith. And then that saving faith, in turn, causes God to pour out more grace upon mankind. In Noah's day, it was a very wicked day, but yet Noah trusted God and was a man of faith. Noah was so much a man of faith that he made it into the hall of faith we like to refer to in Hebrews chapter 11. But he's the only person in that chapter whose story begins and ends both with by faith. All of the others have faith mentioned once, but with Noah, it's mentioned twice, at the beginning and at the end. hard to live right when everybody else is living wrong. It's a lot easier to live right if everybody else around you is doing the right thing. It's the idea of the peer pressure. Whatever everybody else is doing, it's a lot easier to follow that mold. But Noah lived in a very wicked day, and he didn't have all of that positive peer pressure. His was the negative kind. John Wesley said, "It's easy to be religious when religion is in fashion, but it is an evidence of a strong faith to swim against the stream and appear for God when no one else appears for him." That's exactly what Noah was doing in his day. The whole world was turning against God. The whole world was being wicked and evil. The scripture says that every thought continually was nothing but wicked. And it got so bad that God said, okay, that's it. And the first part of chapter 6, he says, "I will not always strive with man." He says that after 120 years, it's going to be the end. He's going to destroy them. But yet, looking through the earth, he saw Noah, who was living a just life. And I'm sure that the pressure on Noah and his family would have been overwhelming. I'm sure there would have been a lot of peer pressure, a lot of ridicule. I doubt they went to the market and people talked light of them. I'm sure that people were very hostile toward them. For one, it was a light to them to see how far they were from the right. And so I'm sure there's a lot of peer pressure, a lot of temptations, a lot of hostility toward Noah and his family. And Noah saw that the outlook was very bleak, and so Noah turned to the uplook. And we read in the scripture that Noah was just and perfect. He lived a life of faith so that he could receive God's grace. God gave grace for the trials that came upon Noah. We make it sound like it was easy when we read the story of the ark and the building of the ark, especially when we read it to children, we make it seem really easy. And we've got this concept ingrained in our minds that it was just easy for Noah to build the ark. But that was a pretty massive boat. That would have required a lot of work. That's something that he couldn't hide in his back workshop. It was out in the public for everybody to see. And at that time, it had never rained. And so I'm sure that people walked by and they just ridiculed Noah and made fun of him for 120 years while he was building this boat. For what reason would you need a boat for? Because it's not rained. And so there was a lot of trials that Noah faced. And I'm sure that even on the ark, there were times when it was trying and tiresome to take care of all the animals. God gave them the commandment to keep the animals alive. That was their responsibility. But each time there was a trial that came into Noah's life, God gave him the gift of grace to help him through that trial. Not only did Noah receive the grace or the gift of grace from the Lord, but Noah received a gift of guidance from the Lord. There was divine guidance that God gave Noah. He had a very special task for him. And he didn't just expect Noah to figure out what the task was. He gave him guidance and direction. The Lord was going to destroy the earth, but he wanted Noah to provide an escape route. The Lord was going to cause a flood to come and destroy the earth, kill all that was in the earth. But he wanted an escape for the righteous. And so he looked to Noah and had them build a boat. I'm sure that Noah didn't get the whole lump sum of instructions for his life all at once. We read the instructions for the ark and the information about the flood all at once. But I don't know that Noah received all of those at once. And even if he did, there's other things in the life of Noah that the Lord would have given daily direction, daily guidance for him. But even in the giving of the commandments for the ark and the direction there, God was very logical and sequential in his steps. He didn't say, "I want you to go get some pitch so that you can pitch this boat," and then a couple days later he comes home and said, "Oh, by the way, this boat's going to be this big, you need this much pitch." No, he said, "I want you to build the boat," and then he said, "I want you to make the boat this big." He specified three different stories, and then within those three stories he specified where the partitions would be, where each wall would be. And then he told him to cover it with pitch on the inside and the outside. God gave him logical steps. It wasn't just a big goal that he had for him. He didn't say, "I want you to do this," and didn't tell him how. But he gave him a step-by-step direction. It is like one solving a complex mathematical equation, or an archaeologist who is unearthing an ancient ruin. They do it one step at a time. That's the way it is. That's the way God expects us to do it as well. He reveals his plan unto us one step at a time, just one day at a time. And there's some times when God doesn't give us the next step, until we've completed the one he's given it to us. We don't go to him and expect him to give us our whole life story. We don't ask for, well, if we would ask, he wouldn't give us our whole life's plan. He gives it one step at a time. This boat that Noah built was designed to float. It was not designed to navigate. The only purpose for this was to keep them afloat and to keep them alive at this time. And there's sometimes in our lives where we don't realize, we don't know where the direction that God gives us, where it's leading. But God just expects us to float. He doesn't expect us to navigate through the waters of life on our own. He gives us the directions as we need them, just to float and keep the float, and then he will do the rest. And sometimes God's direction and God's leadership doesn't make sense to us in our earthly eyes. We look at it and say, but I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense. I'm sure Noah probably experienced some of this same stuff when the Lord came to him and said, I want you to build this big boat. At that time, there hadn't been any rain, and so it wasn't like Noah was needing to build something to keep himself afloat during a flood. He didn't need a canoe to paddle out whenever the floods came up. And so I'm sure that there were times when Noah was tempted to think, well, this doesn't make any sense. I don't understand. Lord, why are you giving this to me? And there's times in our lives when God may tell us to do something. He may lead us and direct us in an area, and we look at it from the earthly viewpoint, and it doesn't make any sense to us. But yet God still knows what he's doing, and he has his plan. And we're not supposed to try to figure out all the whys and the wherefores and the reasons. We're not supposed to sit there and reason it all out. If God commands us, if it doesn't make sense, he knows what he's doing, we still should follow. There's sometimes when God's commandments to us can be frustrating. He may lead us in an area like Noah. He was told to build a boat to save the righteous, and he was to provide an escape for the entire world. His great-grandfather, Enoch, and he himself preached the gospel for many years at God's command, and they didn't have any results from their efforts. Noah preached and preached, and Enoch preached and preached for years, and they had no results. And I'm sure that there were times in the human that was frustrating to them. They were doing what God commanded, yet they weren't seeing any fruit from it. But yet God told them to just do it, and they did it. And that's the way it is in our life. There's sometimes when there's frustrating times that God's leading us somewhere and we don't understand the end. We don't see the end, and it seems frustrating. But God just wants us to daily follow him. Sometimes we know why God tells us to do some things. Sometimes he'll tell us, I want you to do this because. And that's the way it was with Noah and this boat. He told him, I want you to build this boat because there's going to be a flood. It's going to destroy the earth. There's sometimes we don't know why, but we still need to trust him. Noah obeyed God in all that he did, that despite the temptations to be frustrated at not having any results from his preaching or any other thing that may have come along, Noah still obeyed. There's four times specifically that we find the scriptures say that Noah obeyed. The last verse of chapter 6 says Noah obeyed said, thus did Noah according to all that God had commanded him, so did he. In chapter 7 and verse 5, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord had commanded him. In verse number 9, the last part, as God commanded Noah. And then the middle of verse 16, as God commanded him. Four specific times we read that Noah obeyed God. And there's sometimes we don't understand where God's leading us. We don't understand why God's directing us the way he is. And we don't need to. We don't need to understand all the reasons and wherefores about it. We just need to obey. Noah simply obeyed, and he's a great example for us to follow. We're just simply to obey. Not only did Noah receive the gift of grace, the gift of divine guidance, but he received a gift of a guarantee. In verse number 18, the Lord made a promise. He made a guarantee unto him. He said that I will make my covenant with thee. This is the first time, once again, for the word covenant to appear. But we don't see any record of this covenant until after the flood. It's as though the Lord is telling Noah, I'm going to promise you that if you obey me, that you'll make it through this alive, that you'll come through victorious. And we don't read any record of this covenant until after the flood. And so it's as though the Lord was giving Noah this promise to encourage him when it got dark. The sign of God's covenant with Noah after the flood is the rainbow. And it's significant that the rainbow only appears whenever it's showery, whenever the rains are coming and the sun is shining. That's the way it is with God's promises. Whenever it gets dark and God shines through, we see the encouragement in His promises. And I think that's the reason God gave Noah that promise, is to encourage him, to keep him encouraged, and to help him to see that he is going to make it through. And God gives promises to those who believe Him, who are following Him. There are some promises that are universal, but there are more promises given to God's children after they're following Him and following His direction. These promises are accepted through faith. At the end of Hebrews chapter 11, we read that these all died in faith, having received the promises. They may not have got the fulfillment of the promise in their lifetime, the promise there referring to the coming of the Messiah, but they all went through life with that promise, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. So we have to accept the promises of God through faith. When God tells us He's going to do something, we don't see it happening. But through faith, we can reach out and grasp a hold of that promise and keep going. Whenever we think of God's promises, we usually think of encouraging things like God's promise to supply all of our needs. He's promised to always be with us. But the Lord's promises have conditions. In high school math, I was taught, I think it was geometry, about if-then statements. If this, then that. And we use if-then statements quite a bit. We say, if it doesn't rain tomorrow, then I will mow the lawn. If this, then that. And God has promises that are the same way. If we do a certain thing, then God has promised to do such and such. And I want to take some time just to look at a few of them. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 26, this is where Abraham's praying to the Lord for the salvation of Sodom and Gomorrah, for the protection of the city, for keeping that city. And verse 26, the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous, then I will spare it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, a fairly familiar passage, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will hear their and heal their land. In 1 John, there's a couple more. In the King James, the word than is not printed, but in some of the other versions and some of the other translations, the word than appears. And I don't think it does any injustice to put it in. In verse number 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with Him. And then down in verse number 9, if we confess our sins, then He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. God has given us promises. Promises for each and every one of us, but they have conditions. We must follow Him. We must do what is right in order to receive the promise. Noah followed God's leadership. Noah did what he was supposed to do, and God's promise was there. God's promise came through because Noah obeyed. There's 7 times in the few chapters that we have record of Noah's life. There's at least 7 different times that we find that God spoke with Noah. And it was each time it's a time of fellowship or blessing for he and his family. And that's one of the promises. God has promised to be with us if we will do what He's commanded. And Noah did everything that he was commanded at least 7 times. We find record of God coming and communing with him and being with him. God called Noah to build an ark, a pretty big task. God called Noah to build an ark for the saving of the world. The only people that made it in were he and his family. But God still called him to that task. Yet God didn't leave him alone. He gave him those 3 gifts, the gifts of the grace, of guidance, and of a guarantee. And God has called us to be a separate people. Yet He's not left us to do it on our own. There are many pressures, many trials, many temptations that come into our lives throughout as we go through life, yet God is there for each one of them. In Pilgrim's Progress, Pilgrim faced many things that were trying to keep him from the celestial city. There's the one time that the lion was in the way, he had to go through the slough of despair, and the list goes on and on. We could think of all sorts of things and trials and pressures that come into our lives, but God is there with us. God has given us the task of keeping separate from the world, of living as a shining light and being an ambassador for Him. This is a large task. just as the task that the Lord had given Noah to build a boat, a large task. But we have the same God who helped Noah through the flood to help us through the trials of life. God gives us grace just in the time of the trial. Noah lived in a wicked world. It was at the end of the world as he knew it. However, God gave him the grace as it was needed because he lived righteously. In our lives, we're going to face many trials, and it seems many times that life is black and things are dark around us and that the end is near. It was for Noah too. But if we will live faithfully to God as Noah did and live pleasing to him and follow his commandments, then he will give us the grace just as it is needed. He'll give us grace and more grace than what we need in the time of trial. He is always on time with his grace. God gives us guidance. We don't have to try to figure out the life that God has for us all at once. We don't have to know every step at once, but God gives us a day-by-day guidance. In this land that's dissected and muddled by mazes of roads and never-ending highways, God wants to be our gentle shepherd and guide us day by day on our way to heaven. And God has given us a guarantee in his word, a guarantee that we can claim. In this world, we find easy promises, empty guarantees, and quick claim insurance policies, and yet God has given us the security of his word. In the world in which we live, we sometimes wonder if people can be trusted to keep their word. Noah had the same situation, perhaps even worse. Yet God remained faithful to Noah. He kept his promises to Noah. It's the same God that we serve today, and he will keep his promises to us as well. In our lives, when things get dark, when they get discouraging, it's easy to look around us and want to give up. It's easy to look at the outlook instead of the uplook. But let us look unto God who gives us grace and guidance and guarantees. And let it be said of us, as it was of Noah, that we have found grace in the eyes of the Lord, that we are just, that we are perfect, and that we have walked with God. Stand with me, please.